What up, Grammys? All right, check it out.
Good day. Welcome to the Big Green Grateful Nerd Show. I am filling in for the one and only Nerd Grows today, as he has been insanely busy. So I decided I would reach out and take over his show. So welcome. I am the Big Green Guy. I'm going to follow along with his format somewhat and talk about some different things coming up. So some announcements. My biggest announcement is I have a drop coming up on May 4th and May 5th. It's going to be two separate drops. There will be some similar things on each day. I haven't released all of the details yet, so if you want to keep an eye on what's coming up from me, you can go to my Instagram page of greenguy_genetics and just follow me there, and I'll be having some updates over the next couple weeks of what exactly is going to be coming out in those drops. Because it is May the 4th, which is known as Star Wars Day, I will have some exclusive stickers to go along with each of the days, and then May 5th can be known also as Revenge of the 5th. Fun stuff. Secondly, Mr. Nerd Grows typically talks about what's going on in his grow. So I will split this up into kind of two different sections where, number one, my personal grow at home. I have quite a few things going on. My big photo tent, which I've been testing some of the newer photogenetics I've been working. Everything's looking really, really good. They're passing all the tests, checking all the boxes I want to see. I shouldn't say everything. Currently, there are 7 crosses in there, and 5 of them, I would say, are meeting all my expectations. 2 of them, I think I need a little more work on. But they're moving along, looking good, structure-wise, size, bud structure, the smells that I want to see, the combination of the different genetics are coming together nicely. So I'm excited about those. Then in my smaller photo period tent, which is a 3x3, I have a GMO root beer, which is something I'm going to be working with moving forward as well. And that thing is looking amazing. It has everything that I want to see in a plant that I will pick to work with. Very, very excited about that. And then in my main, what we'll call my mom/veg/autoflower area, everything's looking good there. I'm running my second go with my cloner that I made. If you know, you can go on to the Big Green Guy on Instagram, and I have some pictures of the cloner that I actually made. And this is my second run using the cloner, and it's working really, really nice. I have a specific technique that was handed down from a friend of mine who's been using this for over 10 years, and it's been very successful. It's been 10 days as of last night, and I have roots on 6 of the 14 clones. Everything is really looking like it's going to blow up. I just did a water change yesterday and added the components and the things that I put in there. So over the next 5 days or so, I should really start to see a lot of massive root growth. And within a week to 10 days, we'll say, I should have what people will call like those wizard beard roots coming off of the clones themselves. So I'm very excited. It's the first time that I've used this particular technique. So I still have to kind of zero it in and really figure out exactly what I need to do. I might have to adjust some different things. And every clone does clone slightly different. But what I'm trying to find is a technique that will work with all of them. Some clones are a little more finicky, or some plants, I should say, are a little more finicky to clone. So moving forward, that's kind of where my focus is on that. In my testing area, I currently have 10 plants that are in there, newer crosses that I'm putting through the ringer at the moment. We just had a massive snowstorm blow through. Perfect timing to take and put some plants outside, see how they do in sub-freezing weather conditions. I try to run and put things through my testing, things that you wouldn't necessarily run into all the time. For example, you know, most people are not going to run into a situation where it becomes below freezing for long periods of time unless they lose power. And then, you know, now there's other concerns that the people are going to have anyway. But I like to test for those things. I like to do the massive swings, you know, go from 95 degrees down to 60 degrees and then back up and down and raise and lower the humidity, do excessive watering, underwatering, over nutrients, hardly any nutrients, because I want to test these plants beyond what the typical grower is going to experience. I do that so that I know if you keep it within the ranges where they should be, then you should have a very successful grow. So that's pretty much what's going on in my personal grow right now. Mr. Nerd asked me if I would talk about some breeding terms and what they actually mean to, say, the consumer or someone growing things for the first time. So we'll start with typically what you'll see when you're buying seeds from somebody is you'll see, say, the name of a cross. And I'll use Odin Sons, for example, okay? That's one of my crosses. It's a cross between Thor's Hammer XXL F3, and that is by Viking Gardens. That was the female that I used. She was a big, beautiful plant. The male of that cross was Loki OG by Gnome Automatics, which was formerly Mandalorian Genetics. I had hunted for a male. I knew I wanted to use some Mandalorian Genetics, so I popped a bunch of seeds of his, looking specifically for the different males. I had narrowed it down to three, and this Loki OG just had everything that I felt at the time I wanted in a male to cross into and make some of my first things that I ever created. And taking that male Loki OG and crossing it into or pollinating the Thor's Hammer, that created the F1, which is the first filial generation. So the F stands for filial. F1, that's what that means. It's basically you took a male and a female and you created something new out of that. In this case, I created Odin Sons. And that would be the first generation. The F1 is the first of that generation. Now, if moving on to F2 and F3 and F4 and so, that is where you would see something that would be called an IBL or an inbred line. So the F2 is you're taking sibling plants and you're crossing them to each other. An F1 female times an F1 male, in this particular example, you're crossing them together. Now you've created the F2. Now the biggest difference between the F1 and the F2 is going to be your phenotypes that you're gonna see. People will say, well, what is a phenotype? Okay. When you grow out an F1 generation, you'll typically see between 5 and 7 different types of plants that could show up in there. What do I mean by different plants? Okay, so you could have some that lean more towards what the mom was, some that lean more towards what the dad was. And then you'll have different combinations of the two. So you might have the structure more like the dad, but the flavor of the mom. You might have a nice combination of the two. So if you have something that was blueberries and you had something that was grape, for example, my blueberry grape, you then have a combination of those two flavors where individually you only had either blueberry or you had grape. Moving to the F2, now you've opened up the gene pool a lot more. So now instead of having that 5 to 7 different phenotypes, you now could have upwards to 20 plus different phenotypes, which as a breeder, it's exciting because at that F2, you can find a lot of different possibilities. You're going to have grandparents, potentially great grandparents of the original cross you made now showing up in different ways and different combinations. You may find something really, truly special. In my funeral desserts in the F2, I found that pink pheno, the one that I released back in December. I only released a few packs of it because it's not showing up in every single plant that comes out. It's not showing up in all of them. It's about 1 in 10. I don't believe anyone that's grown them out has found one yet, but in my experience and the ones that I've grown out, it's about 1 in 10 that show up, and it shows up fairly late. But I am working on that more to bring it forward to specifically isolate that trait. It can be difficult, especially with autoflowers. You can't just find a specific plant and then continue on with it. Going to F3, now you're looking for two plants that are very similar structure-wise, flavors, all that kind of stuff. So you can combine those two sibling plants to now bring it to the F3, which locks it back in a little bit more. So now you'll have less phenotypes. And what the goal is as a breeder moves along into the F4, F5, F6 is to really isolate. So now you're not getting as many phenotypes. You might see 2 or 3 in the later generations rather than the amount you typically do early on. That's a basic rundown of an F1, what F1 is, F2, F3, you know, those kind of the filial generations, which I'm talking male to female breeding. So now moving on, you will see something that will say S1. So an S1 is similar with the exception of now you're dealing with feminized seeds. So all of the seeds should be female. An S1, it's called a selfing. So how that works with photo periods is you'll take a plant, you'll grow it out, then you'll take two clones off that plant. This is how I do it. You grow those clones out. You then start the reversal process. You're basically taking that female plant and you are introducing either STS, which is silver thiosulfate, or CS, which is colloidal silver. There are a few other ways to do it, but these are the two typical ways that I will do it to just one of those plants. And what it does is it creates female pollen sacs. So the pollen that will come out of those will be XX pollen. Therefore, when you take that pollen and you apply it to another female plant, the seeds will then be female because there's only XX in the generations. If you get seeds like that and all of a sudden they're herming or they become intersex, which is a better way of looking at it, something went wrong. Either that original female was prone to going intersex, so it wasn't tested properly, because you can still stress a plant out even if it's just female and it could create pollen sacs. But that's kind of talk for another time, you know, as far as those kind of things. We're just doing kind of the basics of what the F1, now this is the S1. So that would be a selfing. You're now taking, yeah, the two clones of the same plant. You've reversed one. It's now creating pollen. You then pollinate the other one. That's going to create your first generation of feminized seeds. You can also do this by reversing a female plant and pollinating another female plant of another completely different plant, which creates the F1 of that feminized cross. And then you can see the same thing, S2, S3, S, you know, so on and so forth. Now, when it comes to autoflowers, you can self an autoflower. Basically, what you typically will do is you'll isolate one or two branches to reverse. When those have fully created pollen sacs, you then can pollinate that plant itself. That would be technically a selfing of the plant, because autoflowers, you can clone them. The amount of time it takes to clone and do all that, you would really have to have your timing down near perfect in order to truly self it like you can a photoperiod. Plus, with a photoperiod, you're able to grow out the genetics. You know what you have. You basically are able to kind of get an idea of what you're going to see in future generations from growing it out, or what you'd like to see. With autoflowers, as you're growing the plant out, if you've grown it out enough in the first generation of that plant or whatever the initial parent is, you kind of have an idea of what you're going to get. So you can kind of guesstimate and hope. And in the end, you don't know what you're going to get until you grow out the first generation and you're growing it out for yourself, which is what a breeder should do. You know, you create the genetics, you should be growing those genetics out yourself, finding what you're seeing. And then, like, I have a test team that I will, after that point is gone, I will send it to them to see if they are getting the same results as I am. It's just the way I do it. Other breeders do it differently. What typically people will do with an autoflower when they're going to feminize it is they're actually reversing, which would be an R1. So you may see that somewhere. A lot of people still just use the S1. But if they're taking one female plant, reversing it, and then pollinating another female plant or a sister plant, so not an exact copy of it, but a sister of it, that would technically be a reversal. So you're reversing one plant and then you're pollinating a sister of that same plant. So they had the same parents. And then you can move on again from there. So you have the S1, S2, S3, you know, and so on. So in doing that, you're trying to really lock in the phenotypes and have less variation, say. Great for people that want to grow out and have the same results from every single plant they're growing. Breeders typically want the younger generations because they can then hunt for something unique they can use themselves. So one thing that a lot of people kind of get confused with is when it comes to back crossing. What is back crossing? So that's basically, now you have a plant, you've created a new cross, and maybe the phenotypes of that are not exactly what you're looking for. You want a little bit more of what the mom has. Maybe the mom has a specific flavor or bud structure or a leaf structure or leaf to calyx ratio. Maybe the mom is more dense. So you're basically going to take the children and you're going to pollinate, in this case, you'd be pollinating the female. Whether you do that by reversing your new cross and then pollinating the original mom, or by basically taking a male of that new cross and pollinating it back into the mom to get more seeds to kind of look at. That would be a back cross, and that would be known as a BX1. Sometimes people will do that again and again and again because they're really trying to lock in something that maybe only existed in that original mom or female plant. It could be a special color or a flavor, like I said, a bud density, or maybe yield. Maybe that original mom just had just phenomenal yield and you're not seeing that to the extent in the children. So you're going to keep back crossing. Now, every time you do that, you are bringing in more of that original mom's genetics into the pool. So it's going to eventually look and taste and all that a little bit more like that mom, the more back crossing you do. But sometimes that's the only thing you can do. You know, maybe it's potency that original mom had. Sometimes that one back cross is enough to bring more potency into your mix without making it too much like that original mom. Because in my eyes, if that original mom was so great that you're looking to continue to back cross and back cross and back cross to get more of that mom's components or whatever into it, unless the offspring of that back cross is becoming better and better and better as you go, I don't see the point. Just go ahead and, you know, re-release that original mom. Make more of that original mom to put out there if it's that good. But back cross, it can actually be very beneficial in the overall scheme of things as far as, you know, locking in specific traits that you really want. I have not done a lot of back crossing myself because I prefer to take two parents that I know they work really well together and they create something that is better than either or. So that's pretty much it. You know, I can dive a lot deeper into specifics of those kind of things. I touched on a lot of different things. We touched on the F1, the S1, the R1, the back cross, moving forward in generations as far as, you know, what those are. So now you should have somewhat of an idea when you're looking on a pack of seeds and it says F3. Well, now you should know that means, you know, there was an original cross of two parents. They then crossed the first generation of those to create the F2. They then hunted through those and picked two phenotypes that were very similar to each other, usually. And then they crossed those together to make the F3, which is now a little bit more stabilized. You should get less phenotypes. And then so on and so forth as you move forward. I hope that explains some of those kind of things. So when you are going forward and buying seeds, you understand that, okay, this is an F5 or this is an F6. Therefore, if they say, hey, this should taste like a dirty sock, well, when you finish it, it should taste like a dirty sock. Almost every plant should taste like a dirty sock. Now, I don't know. Some people like dirty socks. I'm not a fan, so most of my stuff will never taste like a dirty sock. But who knows? Maybe I'll acquire a taste for it. So typically, Mr. Nerd Grows ends his show with some kind of pop culture reference or something. I am a self-proclaimed nerd. I have watched the animated Avatar series probably 30 times start to finish. I just watched, it's been about a month now. We watched the live action of the first book. And while they did kind of muddy it up a little bit, I think they maybe rushed through some of it. I thought overall they did a pretty good job staying somewhat true to the overall story. I'm excited to see where the second and third books go. They have confirmed that they are making the second and third versions of it. The only thing that I didn't like so much about it was how much they combined different episodes. And it made it a little bit weird, but overall, I thought that they did a good job. And I know they're limited on what they can actually do because it is live action and not an animation. I thought they did a good job picking the characters. The characters, you know, for the most part, stayed true to the original types of characters. They introduced some characters way earlier in the live action than they did in the animated series. Secondary. And I've already referenced it with my drop coming up, but obviously I'm a Star Wars nerd as well. And I'm excited for some of the stuff that's coming up on that. You know, my wife and I've watched pretty much every available Star Wars thing. I've gone as far as watching some fan made Star Wars things on YouTube and whatnot. There's some mixed feelings about The Acolyte, which is one of the things that's coming out. I believe it's early June. And I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it to see. I'm not super upset with a lot of the series that they've done. I didn't really care for the newer movies. So episodes 7, 8, and 9. I thought they left too much on the table as far as I think they could have gone a lot deeper into, you know, they just basically kill off Snoke. What the hell's up with that? They never explained, you know, who he was, where he came from, how he rose to power, where the hell he was this whole time. They kind of breezed over it when you saw him in some cloning tanks from the 9th movie or whatever. But I thought that they really rushed making these movies and they could have done such a better job. I'm really hoping that they do some kind of series that talks about the Knights of Ren, because they briefly brought him up and then that was pretty much it. Again, super nerd talk. So if you don't follow that kind of stuff, that's fine. Not a big deal. But the that being said, on May the 4th and the 5th, Revenge of the 5th, there will be an exclusive sticker that I'm having made for each specific day. So if you pick something up from the 4th, you'll get that sticker. You pick something up from the 5th, you'll get that. Pick something up from both, you'll get both. The only thing I'm going to kind of hint to here is there will be a box set. There's going to be 4 crosses and a freebie as well. So technically 5 crosses. There's going to be exclusive things that will be included with that as well. That will only be available through that box set. So I think I spoiled enough of that. I'm going to be going on YAG soon and talking more about the actual box set and the crosses that are coming out and where those things are going and looking. And again, if you go to greenguy_genetics, you can follow along there and I'll be doing more and more updates as it gets closer. But yeah, I think that about covers it. You know, Nerd said, make them long enough that, you know, people have to listen a little bit and then, but short enough that people with ADHD don't lose their train of thought and then go off on a tangent and then not only listen to 10 minutes of it and shut it off. So I hope you found this episode informative. I may do more of these every now and then and steal a show from him every here and there. If you guys do have any questions, you can reach me on Discord. I'm on in a lot of the different Discords there. Or again, reach out to me at greenguy_genetics. Until next time, I hope you guys all have a great day. And we will catch you later. This is the Big Green Grateful Nerd Show, signing off. Take care, guys.